Okay, I'm recording it as well. Okay, good evening, everybody. So tonight is the third and the last in the series of safety and guarding oneself from danger. We discussed the concept of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, which is a little bit like relying on a miracle. We talked about last week about special people could sometimes rely on miracles. This is something that only people from the Gemara were privy to, based on a Rashba. And now, tonight, we'll talk about the conventional mitzvah of a micah. A micah is a fence that you build primarily around your roof, but we'll see what it applies to. And more than that, we'll see also the concept, and we'll discuss the various perspectives of the mitzvah of micah. And then at the very end, I have an interesting analogy to something that we've discussed in the past on a totally different topic. So we know the pasuk. We're familiar with the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse. The pasuk says Ki Sivne Bayis Chadash. So if one builds a new house, V'yosisa Ma'aka Ligagecha, you should build a Ma'aka. So Rashi translates the word Ma'aka like a tick, like an encasing, we translate it as a machitza, as a partition, as a wall, as a fence. But Rashi says it's actually like a tick. It's like creating a receptacle, an enclosure. Ligagecha. Loisasim damim b'veisecha. And you may not have something dangerous in your home that could be mesim damim, that could cause bloodshed. Ki ipo hanoifel mimenu, because someone could fall from it. So just incidentally, we're all familiar with the famous Maimer Chazal, that ipo hanoifel. The pasuk says, it doesn't say someone might fall. It says the noifel, the faller, will fall. So we know that the Medrash darshins that whoever might fall from this high place was destined to fall before, or could have been destined to fall before. So someone might argue ideologically that why is it my problem to protect someone if he ends up falling? So then that means he was destined to fall. But we're familiar, we all know the famous Chazal, that megalgalin chayiv choyiv al yedei chayiv, that we don't want to be the one that was instrumental to the person dying, even if the person is supposed to die because of his own cheshbonis, his own recklessness, or his destiny. But we don't want to be the ones who are implicated in that. We don't want to have anything to do with that. Okay, so that's the pasuk. The pasuk says two things. When a person builds a house, he has to construct a micah, he has to construct a fence. And then the pasuk says, "Loisasim damim b'veisecha," and a person may not cause bloodshed in his home. So now the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha, I basically cited here most of the halachas of Makkah from the Rambam. I quoted it mostly, Aleph through Hey, and I did a little bit into Vav as well. So let's first learn the halachas that are relevant from the Rambam, and then we'll break it down and we'll see some interesting concepts as well, besides the actual halacha. So the Rambam starts off, mitzvahs aseh, there's a positive commandment, lasos adam ma'aka legagoy, for a person to make a fence around his roof. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, yosiso ma'aka legagecha, that you should have to, that's the pasuk we just quoted, a person should make a fence around his roof. Behu sheyia beis dira. Now, based on the Sifri, the Rambam learns, it has to be a beis dira. Only the roof on top of a dwelling requires a makah. Abo beis ha'itzarais, but the roof on top of a storage house, ubeis ha'bakar, or the roof on top of a stable, even though it's the same roof and it's a flat roof and a person could theoretically go up there and have perform activities up there, ukidyotzi bohen, or anything similar to that, that underneath it's not a beis dira, Eino zakaklo, you're not obligated to make a fence. So it's very interesting that although it's the same roof, a person has a mound, a person has like a mountain in his backyard. So he's not required to make a makah around the mountain because it's not a dwelling. Or a person has a shed, a person has a storage house or a stable in his backyard. So even if he would use the roof and he would store things on top of the roof as well, the Rambam says, and it's based on the psukim in the Sifri, that are darshaned in the Sifri, he's not required to make a fence. And someone might wonder, what's the difference? If it's talking about a case where I don't use the roof, then I wouldn't be obligated to make a fence around the roof of my home either if we don't use the roof. Like nowadays, we don't usually make a fence around our roofs because we don't use our roofs. So we're talking about a case where the person is inclined to use his roof. Nevertheless, the Rambam exempts us from creating a fence, from installing a fence around the roof of structures that are not dwellings. The kol bayit she'ein bo arba armas al arba armas patur min hamakah. And in a similar vein, any house that is less than 4 amas by 4 amas, 4 amas would be anywhere from 6 to 8 feet. So 6 times 6 is 36 feet. If it's 36 square feet, if a person has a structure that's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, even if he's living in that structure, he's not required to make a makah on the roof, even though he's living there. Why? Because the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that anything less than 4 amas by 4 amas doesn't qualify as a true dwelling place. It's not a proper dwelling place. So it's very interesting that the halacha has like a caveat. Although it's about safety, if it's not a dwelling, then it doesn't require a makah. Now we have halacha beis. We'll talk more about that momentarily. Halacha beis, bayis shel shnei shutvin chayv b'makah. So a partnered house, if you have a house that's owned by partners, is obligated in a makah. The Gemara actually tells us in Chulin that there was an opinion that exempted such a house, but we hold that it's chayv. Shenemar ki bo hanoifel mimenu, because the pasuk says somebody might fall from it, leitala ela b'noifel. So it's a drasha that the main criteria is that we don't want somebody to fall from it, so even a home that's shared by two different owners would be obligated in a makah. Imkein lama nemar gagecha. So then why did it say gagecha in the singular if even a shared home is obligated in makah? So the Gemara says, lamayit bati knesiyos ubati midrashos lefi she'einam asuyim ledira. So again, the same principle that we saw in Halacha Aleph, the reason why it says gagecha, which means your roof, your roof in the singular, is to exclude a shul or a base medrash. Why? So it's interesting because Rashi says in Chulin, because it's not privately owned, it's owned by everybody. It's owned by everybody, far and wide. A similar idea comes up regarding mezuzah. But another thing Rashi says, and the reason that the Rambam gives, is because it's not a base dira. So again, it's the same halacha we just saw in Halacha Aleph. We only require a ma'aka around the base dira, a dwelling. Halacha Gimel, so the Rambam continues, goyba hamaka ein pachas mi'asara tfachim, that the height of the fence is not less than 10 tfachim. So a tefach...
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Toby.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Sure.
Just very, very quickly.
Sure.
Is that back when, didn't they, one of the reasons why we make Kiddush Friday night in shul is for those people that were traveling through and living in the shul.
How
could you say it wasn't a base dira?
That's an excellent point. So I would imagine that it depends on...
A base dira is something that's more permanent.
Right.
I would imagine that
it means, what was its primary function? The primary function of the shul was to daven. Although people took shelter there, the passerbys took shelter there, and they were like basically homeless. They were staying there for Shabbos. But primarily the shul was built not as a base dira,
okay,
and therefore it doesn't require... That's an excellent point. Halacha Gimel, goy v'hamaka ein pachas mi'asara tfachim. So the height of the actual fence has to be at least 10 tfachim. Kedei shelo yipol mimenu hanoifel, in order that someone should not fall. And this is the Rambam again. Vitzoruch. So the question's coming in. What about a shul that has a shamish who lives in the shul? So then, the way the Gemara describes it, the shamish wouldn't be living in the actual shul. The shamish would be living in a base dira, like an apartment that was constructed adjacent to the shul. So then that apartment would require, the top of that apartment would require a makah, or if the apartment was somehow in the overall building, then it's a good point. Maybe perhaps the roof would require. So whenever we talk about if a shul is chayv in mezuzah or not, or if a shul is required in makah, that's talking about when you don't have a beis dira for the chazan. The Gemara talks about a beis dira for the chazan. Now the Rambam goes on to say that the makah has to be strong enough that if somebody would lean against the makah, then he wouldn't fall. In other words, it's not just a heker. the fence is not just there to be a reminder not to go up against the edge of the roof, but the fence is actually meant to support the person's weight, and that it should protect him, it should prevent him from falling. It's interesting to know, not everybody, not all the Rishonim say that. This is a chiddush of the Rambam based on a reading of the Sifri, that the fence has to be strong enough to support the person's weight. The kol hameniach gagoy b'loy mako, anybody who leaves his roof over without this fence, bittul mitzvah aseh, so he nullified the positive commandment. Which positive commandment did he nullify? He nullified the obvious commandment, yosisa ma'ako legagecha, v'ovar aloy saseh, and he also violated a negative commandment, because the pasuk says, v'lesasim damim v'vesecha, that you should not have bloodshed in your home. You can't have something a hazard in your home. V'ein loikin alav zeh, even though if a person is negligent, he neglects to put up a makkah, nevertheless, there's no malchus, there's no lashes, because it's aimed by maisa, it didn't involve an action, it was passive, it wasn't active. So the Rambam breaks it down, that there's a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Now, let's pay attention to the next halacha, because the next halacha is going to be a point of contention, and this is actually going to be sort of like the bridge. This is going to be the bridge to... It's interesting because Tosfos in Kedushin says you're only violating the negative commandment if you build the house not on condition to put up a makkah. So the negative commandment, it might be Tosfos is arguing on the Rambam, the negative commandment is only in violation if you built the house not in order to have a makkah, or if you had a makkah and then the makkah falls down. So you are obligated because of the positive commandment to put up the makkah, but the negative commandment, according to Tosfos and Kedushin, is only if you built the house with the intent specifically not to build a makkah. So the obligation would kick in as soon as you need a makkah, you would put up the makkah. The negative commandment is a point of contention between the Rambam and the Tosfos, at what point you're in violation of the negative commandment. Now, whether we're talking, now the halacha dalid is going to be a nice, there's a dispute in the achronim, how to understand the Rambam, and this is really going to bring out the point. Echad hagag, whether we're discussing a roof, v'echad kol davar sheish by sakana, or anything else that is dangerous, v'roi sheikosho by adam v'yamus, and that a person could stumble and fall and die, it's a fatal accident. K'goin shehoysa lay be'er, the person has a well, oy ba'ar, or a person has a cistern, in his courtyard, bank sheish behem mayim, bank sheim behem mayim, chayiv lasos lehem chulya, the person has to create a mound, like when you're digging the hole, you have to create a mound around the well or the cistern, gavoya asara tfachim, 10 tfachim tall, the same height as a mechitza, oy lasos kisui, or to cover the well, kadesh lo yipol ba'odam v'yomas, that a person shouldn't fall and die. Now, if you look at Halacha Dalet carefully, the Rambam is coming off of Halacha Gimel that there's a positive commandment to build a makkah, and there's a negative commandment if one is negligent, if a person is neglects to do so. In Halacha Dalet, he speaks about whether it's a roof or whether it's a well, you have to leave a fence or a mound, a protective fence around the well, because it's something dangerous. And then the Rambam continues, "V'chein kol michshol sheyesh by sakanas nefashis." Anytime there's something that's life-threatening, there's a mitzvah saseh, there's a positive commandment lahasiro, to remove it, ulihishomrim menu, and to guard ourselves from that, ulizoyer bedover, and to be careful, yafe yafe, very well, vigilantly. Shenemar. Now look what happened. The Rambam transitioned between ma'aka, where the positive commandment was asisa maka legagecha, the negative commandment was leisasim damim b'vesecha. The Rambam in Halacha Dalet transitions from talking about a fence around the roof to other things that are dangerous, and he says you have to protect ourselves. We have to remove anything that causes harm. Shenemar hishomer lecha. We cited this pasuk in the first shir of. The pasuk says he shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha, that one has to guard himself. So the Rambam quotes a different pasuk, because now he's not talking about a makkah anymore. He's talking about the general commandment to guard our safety. And if you don't remove the stumbling block, and he leaves in place any stumbling block that can be life-threatening. So the Rambam says now, he introduces another asay. He said the problem is, so it's very interesting that in Halacha Dalet, he transitions between the fence around your roof, he talks about a well, and then he transitions into other dangerous things, and he substitutes the mitzvah asay of asisa makale agecha for a different mitzvah asay of hisham elecha ushmor nafshecha ma'oid. Okay? And then the Rambam continues in Halacha Hey with the topic of other things that cause harm. That there are many things that the Chachamim forbade because they cause danger. We cited this Rambam in the past. Anybody who violates these things, I'm going to endanger myself. What business is it of yours? Or the person says, I'm not concerned about my safety, we would give him rabbinic lashes. And the Rambam in Halach above gives a few examples. I didn't cite all the examples. A person shouldn't drink directly from a pipe because it's dangerous. There could be leeches, there can be bacteria. Like nowadays they talk about flesh-eating bacteria. You shouldn't drink from rivers. All of the things that we're discovering now are dangerous. The Rambam already wrote these things. It comes from the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So Ayeng Shom, the Rambam there, has a whole list of things that the Chachamim deemed to be dangerous, and they're all under the positive commandment of Hisham Elocha, and they're all under the negative commandment of Vaisasim Damim Bivesech. So the Rambam starts off in Halacha Aleph with the mitzvah to put a fence around your roof, and that's a positive commandment of Asisa Makala Gagecha. Halacha Beis and Gimel, he gets into the details of the Halacha, and in Halacha Dalet, he transitions between the mitzvah of Maka to the mitzvah of dangerous things in general, and he substitutes the mitzvah of Maka with the mitzvah of Hisham Elocha. And he talks about putting a fence around a well or a cistern in the middle of Halacha Dalet. So we're going to soon see that there's actually a machloikis in the poiskim if the well falls under the category of Maka, or if the well falls under the category of something dangerous in general. And we'll see what the difference is. So in item Gimel now, just to sum up what we've just said, we see from the Rambam that there are two different things. There is the actual positive commandment of making a maka, and then there's also Halacha Beis, the negative commandment, the lois haseh, of not to have something dangerous that can cause bloodshed in your home. Now, if you notice in the notes, so right before item Gimel, I put in brackets that you see from the Rambam, this is something that the Achronim, the Dvar Avram, and others point out. The Rambam seems to say that we're only in violation of Leisasim Damim Viveisecha if it's something life-threatening. If it's something that can only cause damage and not cause a fatality, it would seem from the Rambam that I'm not in violation of Leisasim Damim Viveisecha. I might be in violation of other things. If I damage, I might have to pay, but I'm not in violation of the negative commandment of Leisasim Damim Viveisecha. The Rambam keeps on talking about something that can cause sakana, something that can cause death. He doesn't talk about something that can merely cause a bodily harm. Okay, now other things like drinking water from the rivers and things like that have a different positive commandment. They have Hisham Elocha and they have Leisasim Damim, but obviously they're not subject to the mitzvah of making a makah. Now, in Dalid, so the Minchas Chinuch in Tavkuf Memvav, that's the mitzvah of Asisa Makah, so he asks the obvious question. What the Rambam transitions in Halacha Dalet from Makkah to other dangerous things, and he replaces the mitzvah of Makkah with the mitzvah of Hisham Elocha. So the obvious question is, why is someone not in violation of Hisham Elocha if he neglects to put up a Makkah? Why is he only in violation of the positive commandment of a Makkah? Why isn't he also in violation of the positive mitzvah of Hisham Elocha Ushmur Nafshecha Ma'oid? He's in violation of Leisasim Damim, that applies across the board. But why is he only being mevatel the mitzvah of Asisa Makah, what happened to the mitzvah of Hishomer Lecha? So this brings us back to what we pointed out, that the mitzvah of Makah only applies to a base dira, to a dwelling, and not to any other structure, even though he's using the roof regardless. So we can answer the Minchas Chinuch's kasha based on a very famous chazanish. You can't talk about the topic of Makah without referring to this famous chazanish. The chazanish writes in Choshen Mishpat in Likutim Simen Yudches Oifs Beis, the chazanish writes that Be'etzem, right, it would seem that a Makah on the roof is really not considered a sakana. The chazanish points out that perhaps we can't consider a roof to really be a makom sakana. After all, the pasuk tells us that a worker would climb a tree or climb up a ramp, and he put his life in danger. We're not forbidden to climb up a tree and work on a treetop or to work on a scaffolding. We're not required to put up a makah if we're working and we're climbing a tree and doing other things that might be dangerous. Why not? Because when a person climbs a tree, the person knows that he has to be careful. Let's say putting up a ladder. You're allowed to climb up a ladder. You're allowed to do things that there's an element of risk. So the Chazanish suggests that really a makah, really putting up a fence around your roof, might not be required from the regular mitzvah, from a sakana standpoint. Because when a person climbs up onto a roof and he's working on the roof, he knows that he's standing on a high place and he knows that he has to be careful, similar to climbing up a tree. However, says the Chazanish, it's a gzeiras hakasod, it's a chiddush of the Kra, that because the roof is part of your house and the Torah wants your house to be completely safe, so therefore the Torah is machadish that you have to put up a makah. It's like an extra safety precaution. It wouldn't fall under the ordinary dangerous spot, because a makah around the roof, when a person is taking the effort to go up to a roof already, he knows that he's on a roof, and under normal circumstances, he wouldn't go close to the edge. So it's a chiddush hakra, it's a gzeiras hakasov that the pasuk treats, it considers the roof to be a dangerous place, perhaps because it's a tashmish tadir, because people would be always going on top of the roof. So therefore, it's considered, it's treated as a dangerous place, but technically, perhaps it wouldn't qualify as a true dangerous place. That's what the Chazanish says. So the Chazanish uses this concept to explain why the Chi of Makah only applies to a dwelling. Because technically, a roof might not really be considered a dangerous place, because a person, he knows when he's going up on the roof that he has to be careful. It's not as if something is catching him by surprise. So having a roof that's unprotected would not really be a violation under conventional methods of leisasim damin. It's a chiddush hakra. The pasuk tells us a chiddush that you have to put up a makah. So that would explain why a shul or why a storage house, things that are not technically dwellings, why they wouldn't require a makah. Only a home, the Torah is mechadish, that you have to put up a makah. So I would like to use this chazanish to answer the minchas chinuch's kasha. You know why the Rambam doesn't say that putting up a makah, we're also required to put up the makah because of hishomer lecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'od? So we can use the concept of the chazanish, because perhaps a roof would not fall under the general prohibition of having something dangerous, because when a person goes on the roof, he realizes he's on top of a roof. It's only the special gzeiras hakasov, the Torah is mechadish, the Torah treats a roof as if it's dangerous, but technically it might not be considered as dangerous as the other examples, and therefore it does not fall under the category of hishomer lecha. It's only the special gzeiras hakasov of asisa maika legagecha and the negative commandment of leisasim damim, because the Torah treats it as if it's something dangerous. Now, I pointed out before, in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam starts off with the mitzvah of Makah, and then he talks about a well, putting a mound of mechitza around the well, and then he transitions into other dangerous things. So there's actually a machlekes in the Mefarshim, if the idea of putting up a fence around the well, and perhaps we can compare it to a swimming pool, putting a fence around the well, which is certainly an obligation because of leisasim damim, it's certainly considered something dangerous, hazardous, without the mechitza, without the fence. But there's a technical machlekes if we're obligated in the chi of Makah. Is it only because of Leisasim Damim? Is it only because it's dangerous, but it technically doesn't qualify for offense, for the actual positive mitzvah of offense? Or is it also included in the mitzvah of Makkah? So the Chayyadim writes in Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Ma'akah, he puts it together. It's interesting because the halachas of Mezuzah and Ma'akah go together because they're both mitzvahs that apply to a house. So the Chayyadim writes that you're chayiv to put a mechitza around your well, but the Chayyadim says explicitly that it's not because of Ma'akah, because it's not a roof. It's because it's only because of Leisasim Damim. It's only because of the negative commandment to avoid something hazardous. But it's not under the technical mitzvah of Asisa Ma'akah. And we'll explain what the difference is in a moment. However, the Sefer HaChinuch says beferish, the Sefer HaChinuch, not the mitzvah sinuch, but the Rishon, the Ra'ah, the Sefer HaChinuch writes beferish that the Cholyas Habar is included in the mitzvah of Asa Ma'akah, of Asisa Ma'akah L'gagach. And this is a quote from the Sefer HaChinuch that the Indian is Shenif Nakir. We have to build a wall around our roofs and around our wells in order that someone shouldn't stumble and fall from them or fall into them. So the Chinuch says clearly that there's an obligation, a mitzvah saseh, a positive mitzvah, to put a Ma'akah around our well. Now, what's the difference, if we take a step back, what's the difference why I have to put a fence around my roof or around my well? So we're discussing now that there's a machlekes in the Achronim. It's not clear in the Rambam Halacha Dalet if the well is still in the category of a Ma'akah, like a roof, or if the well is in the second category of a sisa of Leisasim Damim, of something dangerous. What difference does it make why I have to put a fence around my well? What difference does it make if it's because of the technical mitzvah of a sisa Ma'akah L'gagecha, or if the reason is simply to avoid having something hazardous in my possession? What difference does it make? I have to make the same fence regardless. So here's a concept. The nafkamina is in Halacha Vav. The nafkamina is regarding a bracha. So let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam says that there's actually a bracha that we recite over the installment of a fence. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam writes, Yesh mitzvah she'enu chayva. There are certain positive commandments that are not absolute obligations. They're doyme l'rishus. It's almost like it's voluntary. For example, mezuzah and ma'akah, the Rambam says. The Rambam says you're not obligated. It's not like tefillin, that every man has to put tefillin on every day. Whether he owns a pair of tefillin, doesn't own a pair of tefillin, we have an absolute obligation to put tefillin on every day. But a person is not obligated to purchase a house in order to put up a mezuzah, or to purchase a house in order to perform the mitzvah of putting up a ma'akah. It's almost like it's a voluntary mitzvah. If I own a house, I have to put up a mezuzah and a ma'akah. But it's a situational mitzvah. The mitzvah depends on the circumstance if I have a house. It's not something that I have to wake up every morning and build a ma'akah or affix a mezuzah. If I have a house, I have to do it. It's almost like it's optional whether you own a home or not. The Rambam makes that point.
And why does the Torah then say by his hanush?
If you build a new house, so Rashi says
that. If you build a new house, but that doesn't prove that you have to build it if you bought the house from someone else.
Oh, so that's good. So that's very good. So the Sifri includes with special psukim that not only if you build it, but even if you purchase it. You know what this reminds us of? This reminds us of the soldier. The soldier is allowed to go back home and not participate in the battle if he builds a house. But the Gemara tells us whether he builds or whether he purchases. We darshan the psukim that purchasing and building are the same thing. The same thing applies to the bracha of Shechayanu or Atoy V'Yameitiv, whether you build or whether you purchase. That's a very good point, Toby. So we actually include purchasing in building. But the Rambam's point is that I'm not obligated to do either. I'm not required to buy a house or to build a house in order to put a mezuzah up or a ma'akah. If I have a house, I have to put up a ma'akah. So the Rambam goes on to say, you're not required to build a house or to purchase a house to put up a ma'akah. He says, b'chol mitzvah saseh sh'ben adam l'makom, any positive commandment that applies, ben adam to Hashem, ben mitzvah she'enu chayva, whether it's the kind of mitzvah that we just described, that it's situational, ben mitzvah shehi chayva, or whether it's an absolute mitzvah. So the Rambam says, mevorach aleha koidem yasiyasa, you have to recite a bracha before you perform the mitzvah. And in Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, Asamaika, if the person is installing a fence, Mevorech b'shasa siya, asher kedishanu b'mitzvoyse b'tzivanu, la'asois maika. The person recites a bracha when he's installing the maika. It's interesting, there's a machlokes, some say when you first start installing the maika, and then you want to not talk until you finish putting up the maika. Mamish, as if it's like bedikas chametz, or if it's like some other long mitzvah, you make the bracha when you first put in the first screw. You bring the fence home from Home Depot. You put in the first screw. You recite the bracha before you do the mitzvah, and then you shouldn't talk until you complete the entire fence. They bring from a Chassam Sofer, the person should recite the bracha at the very end before he finishes installing the fence. So there's a question, when exactly is the best time to recite the bracha? In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam writes, the obvious question, Lama ein mevarcha la'until sidayim ba'achroina. So in those days, you had to wash mayim achroinim because there was a chance that there was some dangerous salt, melech sedomis, this week's parasha, melech sedomis, on the hands. We had to wash our hands because we don't want to have the salt from stone that might be residual dangerous salt on our hands. Says the Rambam, in those days... I'm sorry?
The principle, you don't make a bracha on something that's there just to protect you.
Oh, yeah. That's this Rambam. Very good. Lama ein mevorcha la'until sidayim achroinim. Why don't we make a bracha before mayim achroinim? So that's what the Rambam says. Mipnei shloichaimu b'dabar zeh el v'nei ha'sakana. Because we do this from a practical standpoint to avoid sakana. Udvarim shehei mishum sakana ein mevorchan aleim. Halom ezer doima. What is this analogous to? Lamisha sinan es hamayim. A person is purifying. He's straining the water. We mentioned before it's dangerous to drink water at night from the river because there might be leech or whatever in the water. So you strain the water. You don't recite a bracha upon the straining, but they sakana saluka because of the leech. So in Halacha Ches, we summarize, a menia sakana, in order to prevent danger, which is only a loisase. The pasuk says loisasin vamin beveseva. So the reason why I'm taking safety precautions is because I want to fulfill the negative commandment of not putting myself in danger. But you're not fulfilling a positive mitzvah. Einu mavarach. You don't recite a bracha. But asiyas maika. But when you're putting up a fence, which is a kiyam mitzvah asay bepoil, which is a positive fulfillment of a mitzvah, then you have to recite the bracha. So now, we mentioned the machlokes achronim between the chayyadim and between the sefer achinuch, who's actually a rishon, whether or not the fence around the well is a positive commandment, or is it merely the mitzvah of lesasim damim bevei secha? What's the difference? You're building the same fence anyway. The difference would be, is it a positive mitzvah? Do I recite a bracha? The Rambam says you only recite a bracha when you're fulfilling a positive commandment. You don't recite a bracha when you're avoiding a negative commandment, like something protecting yourself from danger. You're not fulfilling a positive commandment, you're just avoiding a negative commandment. The Mefarshim say, Hishon melecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od, is too much of a generality to recite a bracha. Asisa maika legagecha is a specific positive commandment, so you would recite a bracha. So if the reason why you build a fence around the well is because technically it's not considered like a roof, and I'm not obligated to build the fence because of the positive commandment, I'm only required to build the fence to avoid the negative prohibition of Lesasim Dam Midesecha, then I would not recite a bracha. And that's actually what the Chayyadim says, that you should not recite a bracha. You are obligated to put a fence around a well, let's say around the swimming pool perhaps, but you would not recite a bracha because it's not because of Asisa Maka Ligagecha, it's simply to avoid the negative commandment of Lesasim Damim Bevei Secha. But if you hold like the Sefer Achinuch, and they bring that the Vilna Goin also holds like that, that the well is included in the mitzvah of Maika, and there's an actual positive commandment to build that fence around the well, then you would be chayiv to make a bracha around the well because it's included in the positive commandment of Asisa Maka L'Gagecha. What would halacha be in actuality? So the Vilna Gaon paskin that you should recite a bracha on a fence around the well. The Chayyadim paskins that you should not. So I would imagine that we would say Safik brachas lahakel, and you would not recite a bracha. So the person is putting a fence around his swimming pool, so he's definitely required to do that, especially if there are little children around where it could actually be a real danger. You're absolutely obligated to put a fence around the swimming pool or around any other hazardous area in your possession. Sometimes there's a construction site and there's a pit in the middle of the construction site. You would definitely be obligated, not only legally but even from the Torah, to put a fence around that cistern or that pit, that ditch. But it's a question if it's a chi of Micah or if it's simply the negative commandment of a sasim damim v'secha, and it wouldn't require a bracha. Now, along the same lines, there's a fascinating minchas chinuch also in Tafkuf Memvav. It's Ois Gimel. He says like this. He says, this is an item test in the notes. Alasias Micah, when a person is commanded to install a fence, im osala atzmoi, so the minchas chinuch paskins, if the person installs the Micah himself, Mavarach Lasis Micah, so you recite the bracha like the Rambam said. So says the Sefer of the Minchas Chinuch, Chazina, we see from here that it's a positive commandment like any other positive commandment in the Torah. So says the Minchas Chinuch, Nira Boru, he says, it's clear to me, it's absolutely clear to me, that if I have a mitzvah to install a Micah, you have to either do the mitzvah yourself, because you have a positive commandment to install a Micah, or you have to appoint an agent, like a bris mila, you appoint the moel as a shliach, in order to fulfill the mitzvah on your behalf. Because this is a personal obligation. It's a mitzvah deramya alei, so you are obligated to put up the fence. By the way, we're talking about when you purchase the house, and there isn't a fence, and we're talking about in the old days when they used the roof, so you actually have an obligation to put a fence around the roof. So now, I have an obligation to put a fence around my roof. Nowadays, we don't normally use our roofs, so that's why we don't put the fences up around the roof. But if I would have an obligation to put the fence around my roof because I decide to use my roof as a surface, then I have to put up the makah myself, or I have to appoint the shliach to put up the Micah, because it's my mitzvah. This is an amazing chiddush from the Sefer HaChinuch. It's just like the bris mila, or it's like hafrashas challah. If you want someone to separate the truma or the challah for you, he has to be your shliach. But look what the Minchas Chinuch says. Im asam mitzvah aydei cheres shayta v'katan. If someone installs the Micah, a cheres shayta or katan, somebody who is not able to be a shliach, or a guy, or a non-Jew, who's not a bar shlichus, right? When you put up a fence, so what first comes to mind is that you're going to hire a worker to put up the fence. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it's a mitzvah. Putting up the fence is not just a mundane act. Putting up the fence is a mitzvah. And since I'm obligated to perform the mitzvah, I have to fulfill the mitzvah through my agent. So therefore, whoever's putting up the fence needs to be a bar shlichus. So a non-Jew who's not a bar shlichus, I will not get the mitzvah. It's fascinating. So true, says the Minchas Chinuch, that if you get the fence up there by hook or by crook, even if a non-Jew puts up the fence, so of course you're no longer in violation of Leisasin Damin B'Veisecha, because there's no longer a safety hazard, but you did not fulfill the mitzvah of putting up a Micah because you did it through someone who can't be considered your agent. And he has a very strong expression, it's bitl mitzvah saseh. You sort of were mavatal, you were negligent, you missed the opportunity of fulfilling the positive command. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Now the Machne Ephraim in Ois Yud, the Machne Ephraim seems to argue. The Machne Ephraim says in Hilchos Shluchim V'Shutvin that if you hire a non-Jew, even though a non-Jew cannot be a shliach for you technically, but if you hire a non-Jew, so he has a concept the Gemara discusses, Yad Poel Kiyad Balabais, that a paid worker is like an extension of the employer, and it's even better than shlichus, and the non-Jew could be my employer, my employee, even if he's not a shliach, but he's my employee, and that's just as good, if not better, than shlichus, so I will be fulfilling my mitzvah through the non-Jewish worker. So it shouldn't be a kablan. It's very interesting. You shouldn't pay the worker for the job, like a contractor. You should pay the worker by the hour, in order that it's considered that you're the one who's installing the fence. the Matan Ephraim concludes, if you're not paying the worker, the mitzvah was performed. However, you wouldn't recite a bracha because you didn't do it. It was done without you. So we actually have a machlekes here between the Matan Ephraim and the Minchas Chinuch. Putting up this fence around your roof is a holy act. It's not just a mundane act. It's a mitzvah. It's a kiyum mitzvah. It's like eating matzah on Pesach. Putting this roof up is an actual mitzvah. It deserves a bracha, and it deserves a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Minchas Chinuch takes it literally that if you perform the mitzvah through a non-Jew, you missed out on the mitzvah. But the Matan Ephraim says, no, the mitzvah was performed. So in item Yud Beis, the machlekes between the Minchas Chinuch and the Matan Ephraim seems to be, what is the nature of this mitzvah of the Micah? Is the mitzvah the act, so actually paying, on the contrary, Schirus is considered Mayad. Kablonis, he's a Daita de Nafshe. If it's Kablonis, he's doing it on his own, and I'm just paying him for having gotten the job done. Schirus is the Pshat, I'm paying him for the hour, so it's like he's my Shliach, it's like he's my agent, because I bought his time, and whatever I tell him to do, it's like I'm doing it. So Schir Yoim is more Nisyachas to the employer than the Kablon is. The Machlekes seems to be, is the mitzvah of a Micah, the act of putting up the Micah, that's the Minchas Chinuch, and therefore you have to do it yourself or through your agent, or is it like the Machne Ephraim, that it's the existence of the Micah? You're in a state of fulfillment because of the existence of the Micah. So this was my Chiddush now, in Yud Gimel, I wanted to compare this to a Machlekes between the Magen Avram and Rabbi Kiva Eger on Pesach. We had this, I was thinking to myself that getting rid of your chametz is a very similar construct to putting up a Micah. You have a positive commandment of Tashbisu, and you also have a negative commandment of Bal Yuroeh and Bal Yemotzeh. So if I don't have any chametz, I'm not violating the negative commandment of owning chametz. I don't have chametz. But on the other hand, there's an opportunity to fulfill the positive commandment of destroying the chametz. So there's a well-known machlekes. The Magen Avraham says you can have a non-Jew destroy the chametz, and that will be a fulfillment of your destroying the chametz. But Rekive Eger there is skeptical. He's not sure, because if the non-Jew is the one who destroys the chametz, then it's not as if the Jew himself destroyed the chametz. So of course, the Jew will not be a violation of owning chametz if he doesn't own chametz. That's true. But he didn't get the positive fulfillment of destroying the chametz, because the mitzvah has to be done either through you or through your agent. So the machlekes between Rekive Eger and the Magen Avraham when it comes to getting rid of the chametz would seem to parallel the machlekes between the Matan Ephraim and the Minchas Chinuch as far as putting up the fence. According to the Matan Ephraim, it's the existence of the fence that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So therefore, if the existence of the fence is the fulfillment, it doesn't matter how you got it up there, you're in a state of fulfillment by having the fence put up. It doesn't have to actually be a shliach. That would be similar to the Magen Avraham, that we don't care how you destroy your chametz as long as you get the chametz destroyed. But however, the Minchas Chinuch, that was the Matan Ephraim. But the Minchas Chinuch would say that it's the actual act of putting up the fence that matters. That would parallel Rekive Eger's Svara, that the mitzvah is to destroy the chametz personally, and it can't be fulfilled through a non-Jew. So just to bring out the point, that we only recite a bracha on a positive mitzvah, and there's a question if the positive mitzvah has to be fulfilled technically through your person, through your agency, or is it just the fact that the Micah exists? And we have a similar machlekes regarding getting rid of your chametz. The Minchas Chinuch, he brings Tosfos in Kedushin. Tosfos in Kedushin, the Gemara in Kedushin says that Micah, putting up a fence, is a non-time related mitzvah, so the mitzvah applies equally to men and women. But Tosfos asks, what's the difference? Of course a woman has to put up a Micah because of the negative commandment. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests an answer for Tosfos' question that you're right, a woman would have to put up the Micah regardless because of the negative commandment, but the Minchas Chinuch has his yesoid, but the difference is that now that there's a positive commandment, she's going to have to do it herself physically, or she would have to hire a Jew to put up the Micah. Just to avoid the negative commandment, it can be done through a non-Jew. But now that the Minchas Chinuch came along and said that you have to fulfill this mitzvah personally, that's what the additional mitzvah would require. So the fact that Tosfos doesn't say that, Tosfos might actually be a proof to the Machne Ephraim that the fact that the mica is there would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. You don't have to actually put it up there personally. So this is some of the ideas and how they play out, what the nature of the mitzvah of mica is. Okay, Yashikoyach, everybody.
That was beautiful.